from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length. Talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about the Giants' very disappointing 6-4 loss to the Colorado Rockies yesterday in Denver, losing 3 out of 4 in this series when they had a chance for a split. They had a chance to bring themselves back to 500. And it wasn't just a little bit of a chance. They had a really good chance after they took a 3-1 lead in the 7th inning on a huge home run by Mauricio Dubon. 3-run homer with 2 outs. So just a dramatic home run. He was fired up. It ticked off the Rockies, which you love to see. And then the bullpen gave it right back in the bottom of the 7th. So gut-wrenching loss, but we'll kind of talk about the positives to come out of this and also some fun storylines as well. Little bit about me, I've been a writer for Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I started the Covecast podcast in 2015, talking about the Giants, very similar to how I do on this show, and I joined the Locked On Podcast Network in 2019. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan, and that makes losses like yesterday tough. So it was a weird game right from the get-go because it was Tyler Anderson on the mound for the Giants, Kyle Freeland on the mound for the Rockies, and he's been amazing. Tyler Anderson, you worried a little bit. I mean, he's the former Rockies pitcher, in case anyone forgot. So he was with the Rockies his entire career. They let him go, put him on waivers, and the Giants claimed him last winter. So here he is returning to Coors Field, and he pitched great, as did Kyle Freeland. So this game was 0-0 going into the bottom of the 6th inning, which is just about the last thing you would ever expect at a Coors Field game. Giants had their right-handed lineup out there, and they just couldn't get anything going against Freeland, but then Tyler Anderson would go out and do the same thing. He would just shut down the Rockies in quick order. So Tyler Anderson ended up going 5 innings, allowed no earned runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Little bit of a question, should they have taken him out after 5? Should he have gone back out there for the bottom of the 6th? He had thrown 66 pitches. And so I don't really want to get into this on a day in and day out basis. Oh, should they have taken out the pitcher at this point? Should they not? First of all, we just need to get used to the fact that under Gabe Kapler, the starting pitchers are going to not go as deep as they did under Bruce Bochy. And there's a lot of reason for that. There's all kinds of evidence to support that. So I'm not going to argue against that very often. But just to explain a little bit more about Tyler Anderson, it's also worth pointing out that he hadn't really been stretched out as a starter. In his 3 outings prior to yesterday, he'd only made 1 start, and that was kind of as an opener when he threw 38 pitches. And then he hasn't started since until yesterday, and in his 2 appearances between then and yesterday, he threw 49 pitches in one of those games. And then in the 2nd game, he only threw 26 pitches. So he hadn't been stretched out. I don't know if he was just on a hard limit of maybe 75 pitches max, and he had thrown 66, so they just took him out. Something like that, I think it's entirely possible. So just worth keeping in mind. But I also don't have a problem with it. You got 5 shutout innings now. Turn it over to the pen. Like, we saw what happens when you stretch out the starter with Kyle Freeland on the other side. So we'll get to that in a minute. Actually, let's just get there now. So the Giants give up a run in the bottom of the 6th. Wandy Peralta comes in, gives up a home run. Okay, so then in the top of the 7th, this was the real highlight of the game for the Giants. Hunter Pence grounds out to start the inning. Darren Ruff strikes out on 3 pitches. So 2 outs, nobody on. It's looking like it's going to be another easy inning for Freeland. And then Pablo Sandoval from the right side hits a bloop single. Chadwick Tromp hits a ground ball single. So then Bud Black goes out to the mound, and it looks like he's going to take out Kyle Freeland, the starting pitcher who's still in the game, This is at least the third time through the order by that point, maybe even the fourth. No, I think it's still the third. And, you know, there's two on, two out, right-handed batter at the plate, left-handed starter on the mound. This is not a scenario. This is not how Gabe Kapler would manage this game. It is how Bruce Bochy would probably have managed this game, but not Gabe Kapler. So it's worth pointing out when it backfires for the other team, like, you can't just criticize it when it doesn't work for the Giants, but then like turn a blind eye when it fails, the opposite strategy fails for somebody else. So Freeland stays in to face Mauricio Dubón, and on the very first pitch he throws, Mauricio Dubón, inside fastball, 93 miles an hour on the inside edge, he just turns on it and hits a long home run to left field. And he like drops the bat, stares at it for a second, turns towards the Giants dugout and screams something. And you love to see it. I love to see it. And so he runs around the bases. He's fired up, feeling himself, runs around the bases, circles third, comes toward home, and he starts like shushing. I don't know, like maybe he was just reacting to how silent it was in the ballpark. Maybe he was saying to the Rockies, be quiet. You guys have been talking this whole series. And I just shut you up with that three-run homer. I don't care. I like to see it. And the Giants need more of that. This has been a boring kind of team for a long time. I'm imagining, no offense to Buster Posey and all that he's done, but he, you know, he doesn't play with any emotion. He's just put your head down, circle the bases, been there, done that. And that's boring. I mean, a team of players like that is just, you want to see some emotion, big hits. I'd like to see the screaming. I'm a fan of stopping and staring at the home run for a second. So naturally, the Rockies didn't like this, and then they came back in the bottom of the seventh. Daniel Murphy hit a home run, and he like stared down Mauricio Dubón in center field as he rounded second base. Just stupid, stupid stuff. Fun police, Daniel Murphy. It's just the unwritten rules of baseball. Yes, I played baseball. I understand the unwritten rules, but I was able to rethink my position because I used to think like this too. Like, you just don't do it. You just don't do that. This is how you react when you hit a home run. You don't show up your opponent. Blah, blah, blah. You can just say all that and regurgitate that information and just repeat what you've learned and heard. Or you can just challenge that thought and say, no, wait a second. I enjoy when the players express themselves a little bit more. Like, I'm reminded of Brian Wilson's cleats and how the league fined him for having too much orange, or as he said, too much awesome on my shoes, or something like that. So he literally had to black out his shoes with Sharpie because it was too orange. And I get it. Part of that is like not to distract the hitter, but I just think that's a bunch of baloney as well. Like, you're not going to be too distracted by the shoes of the pitcher unless there's a glare. And, you know, there's strict rules about what you can wear at other positions as well and the colors you can wear. So I'm all in favor of just moving on past that. And the young kids, they don't understand why any of this matters. And they just want to see the players have fun. And not just young kids. A lot of people just want to see their team and their players have fun. And the thing is, if you do it, you have to be able to take it as well. So if the other team does it, it doesn't mean you get to throw at their head in the next inning, okay? Because that's the response of the fun police, is like, we got to throw at this guy. I wouldn't be surprised if next time the Rockies face the Giants, they throw at Mauricio Dubón. I honestly would not be surprised by that, because they're that type of team. Their manager is that type of old school type manager. I'm not, no offense to Bud Black, but he's an old school type of guy. I would not be surprised if he took offense to what Mauricio Dubón did. Maybe not. I should give him the benefit of the doubt. I do not know him personally, but that's just kind of my thought. So anyway, you love to see it from Dubón. You would have loved to see them hold on and win that game. It would have been a huge shot in the arm. Would have been back to 500. Huge hit for Dubón. I want to talk more about him and how I think, depending on if they think he can handle right-handed pitching, that maybe he should be more of a starter. And you start to look at possibly, what do you do at the shortstop position if Brandon Crawford doesn't start hitting? We keep talking about how he's like the general of the infield and blah, blah, blah. He's not been great defensively this year or last year or really the year before that. And so you have to start thinking about moving on at shortstop at some point. And I do wonder, like with Solano and what he's been able to do, and Mauricio Dubón in the mix, do you start to try somebody else at shortstop on a more consistent basis? So coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk a little bit about how the Giants melted down in the bottom of the seventh, and then we'll discuss these kind of roster questions. Solano, Dubon, where do they fit in kind of the long-term picture here? But first, I want to talk about rockauto.com. One reason that we repair and maintain our cars is to save money that we can then use for more important things like the mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and just $216.79 at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Whether it's for your classic car or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Next, I want to talk about Postmates. In the middle of a pandemic, what do you do when you have an unbearable headache and you feel like you can't go out safely? Well, it was Postmates to the rescue for me. Within a matter of 15 or 20 minutes after opening the Postmates app and placing my order, somebody had delivered medicine to my front door, walked outside with my gloves, took the medicine out, wiped it off with some sanitary wipes, and 20 minutes after making the order, there I was taking the pill and my headache was gone in another half hour. And it's not just medicine that Postmates can deliver. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. In my house, we love food and that's why we love using Postmates. But I kind of love them even more right now because I can get food delivered without leaving the house or even opening the door. Postmates created non-contact delivery, so now when I order from local restaurants, everything gets left right outside my door. They also have Postmates Pickup, which you can use to order takeout from your favorite local restaurants. We need to be supporting our neighborhood spots right now. I've only been ordering local because it's a great way to support the community. Download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get everything you want delivered within an hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, next I want to talk about this Mauricio Dubon, Donovan Solano question, kind of the middle infield shortstop question. Is Mauricio Dubon an everyday player? Because he was kind of playing every day in the beginning of the season, and then he found his way to the bench a lot. And I saw a lot, people were suggesting that his roster spot was perhaps in jeopardy, and like him not playing meant that, and I can totally understand thinking that. But I was kind of thinking of it from a different lens, wondering almost if they're just giving these veterans a shot, and then if they aren't able to come through, then they wouldn't last on the roster. Like, I was wondering if some of those veterans, like, they were playing Pablo Sandoval pretty much every day. They were playing Brandon Crawford pretty much every day, even though they were not doing anything. And having, like, Mauricio Dubon on the bench, like, that doesn't totally make sense to me, because where is this team right now? They're in a position where they're totally in transition. And so eventually you're going to have to move on from your veterans. Like, Brandon Crawford, you know, for all the great things he's done, and, you know, he's a legend in San Francisco, but he's probably not a part of the future of this team. And I mean, he signed through 2021. So yes, they're obligated to pay him for one additional season. But if the production's just not there and it's not leading to wins now, they can't just wait until his contract expires to have any kind of solution at shortstop. They need to start thinking about who's going to play shortstop in 2022 And I don't know if the plan is going to be to just sign a free agent or if they'd like to have someone like Mauricio Dubon in a role where they feel comfortable with him playing a lot of shortstop. And so that was kind of my take about why Crawford was playing every day despite struggling defensively and offensively. I think it's a bit of a stretch. Like, I don't know that they're just going to DFA someone like Brandon Crawford. But which player invokes more excitement and which player do you see as a part of the future? It's obviously Mauricio Dubon. So the question is, do they see him as more of a platoon guy or do they see him as someone who can start against righties as well? It's been a tiny sample in his young career, but he's hit lefties way better than righties. It is a tiny sample. I can't really definitively say anything about it, but just that he's hit lefties a lot better than he's hit righties. And for power, my goodness, he's been a power threat against left-handed pitching. Dubon also made an incredible catch in center field in this game, just ranging back and to his left at Coors Field, a ball hit by Matt Kemp, just carried and carried on him. He just had to keep going, and then made a very athletic leap and catch just in front of the wall on the track. Just looked like a natural outfielder out there, so just, I want to see more of that athleticism and that youth and that exuberance in the lineup on a day-to-day basis. But then the other guy who comes into question here is Donovan Solano. The guy can hit. I mean, we've seen that. It's crazy because he's coming over from a pretty lengthy career with the Marlins, little cameo with the Yankees, and just was a relative nobody. But then he's come over to the Giants and just become a force with the bat. And so I thought it was interesting that he's now projected by Zips, which is a major projection system featured on Fangraphs. He's projected for the rest of the season to hit 301 with a 333 on base and 404 slugging. Believe it or not, even if he's hitting 301, the rest of the line means that's still a 4% below average line. Talk about batting average being overrated. You can hit 300 and still be below average, even though the league average batting average right now is like 235. So the reason is that he doesn't walk and the projection is saying he's not going to hit for much power either. So that 301 batting average projection is actually the fifth best in all of baseball behind Charlie Blackmon, DJ LeMahieu, Ketel Marte, and Michael Brantley. These are some of the better players in our game. And Solano is right there fifth behind those guys. So also because of the great start Solano has had, hitting 465 with a 478 on base and 674 slugging, he's now projected to finish the season with the highest batting average in baseball at 348. So as I said, batting average is overrated. You can hit 300 and still be below average. Yes, it's true. But a lot of people pay attention to batting average. I think he's leading MLB right now in batting average. So why that's cool is because, like I said, a lot of people care about that. A lot of Giants fans care about that. So it's going to get a lot of attention. So he's now likely to finish the season with the highest batting average in Major League Baseball. So that's cool. It's going to bring him some recognition that he deserves. And it's going to bring the Giants some recognition that they deserve for finding him and giving him this opportunity. So that's when I start to question, like, where do you fit him into your plans? Because he clearly deserves to be playing every day at this point. So is it at second base? Is he just like the long-term, not long-term, he's 32 years old. So I don't know that he's going to be around for the next 3 years even, but they need to play him while he's doing this, basically is what I'm saying. So, you know, Wilmer Flores can play second base. He can play first base. I don't know if he's just a strict platoon guy. Probably that's the goal with him, and he hasn't been playing as much. But that's another guy. Like, he's swinging the bat well. I'd much prefer to see him in there versus some of the veterans who have been here a long time who are really scuffling. So is there a way to get, like, Flores into the lineup more consistently? Is there a way to get Solano in there every day pretty much, you know, with, of course, having some off days? Is there a way to get Mauricio Dubon in there? And the question is, do they see them as platoon players or not? I think Solano's busted out of the platoon and become an everyday type guy. And that's the thing about platoons that I'll also mention, is that you're not always going to only face one side. And so you get your opportunities to prove yourself against, you know, righties if you're a right-handed hitter. And that's exactly what Solano did early in the season, for example, and then busted through, became an everyday guy. So I wonder, at what point does that happen for Mauricio Dubón? Or if they just really see him as a guy only against lefties. We're going to see a lot of him in this Dodgers series. The Giants face two lefties at least. Tonight is Julio Urias. Tomorrow is Kershaw. So he'll probably start both of those games. I don't know that we're going to see Brandon Crawford start at short in either of these two games. After what we've seen from him so far this season, just total lack of offense, and then, you know, not the same type of defense that we saw in his prime, is there a real reason to be putting him out there, especially in a start by a left-handed pitcher? Maybe. Maybe they believe in his stabilizing presence of his defense that much. If you've got Longoria and Crawford on the left side, I mean, you can feel pretty good about that. But at the same time, the offense, are you really going to give up that much on offense? Or do they just see this early season slump as a small sample thing and that he's going to bust out of it? The thing that concerns me is that last year we're talking about a guy who was 25% below average offensively. So if you're looking at 25% below average, and then we're talking about declining defense, plus having a young player who provides some excitement and hope for the future and could be a part of your long term, then you start to have a question at that position. So we shall see. It's just going to be fascinating to continue to watch who gets the starts, especially, you know, if Dubón starts to play against right-handed pitchers. That'll be something to watch for sure. And including his at-bats against right-handed pitchers in his starts against left-handed pitchers. So he'll probably be in there tonight against Urias. And then if a righty comes in, what does he do? Those will be at-bats to watch. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. We didn't get a chance to talk about Rico Garcia giving up 3 earned runs in his return to Coors Field. The Rockies had let him go, and that's how the Giants got him. He had been great all year, but then really implodes here in this 7th inning. Caleb Berriger also gave up a home run in 2/3 of an inning. So Giants played the Dodgers tonight, a tough series followed by a series in Houston. So the Giants really need to turn it around and get some wins. Otherwise, this road trip has a chance to really put them in a bad spot. We'll be back with another episode on Monday talking about all 3 games over the weekend. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you enjoyed today's show, please hit that thumbs up button. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.